stand by.
It's the week of October 17th, 2005. I'm Jeff.
And I'm Carol.
And you're listening to This and That with Jeff and Pat. That seems kind of weird because you're Carol.
Yes, I am Carol. What's up with that?
What's up with that? I don't know who Pat is.
Oh, no.
Anyway, as you probably noticed, we've got Carol in the studio today. Thanks, Carol, for stopping by.
Oh, you're welcome, Jeff. It's good to be here.
Good deal. Pat's not available to do the podcast this week, and we're very lucky to have Carolina, as she likes to be called sometimes.
Yes, I do.
Really?
But it's Carolina.
See, I can't roll my R's. I never could.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you know, not a lot of people can.
It's a big deficiency.
Is that a deficiency?
I don't know. Is it?
I don't know, Jeff. You know, I was wondering whether or not it's something that you're born with the ability to do or whether or not it's during your formative years.
Did you ever try to learn or did you all of a sudden just say,
No. Well, actually, you know, I was born and raised in Madrid, Spain, right?
So
it's second nature. I mean, you roll your R's when you enunciate certain words.
Right.
But, you know, you talk to adults that can't roll their R's and I wonder it's because their tongues haven't been trained. I think it's more of a linguistics type thing as opposed to just not being able to do it.
Right, right.
I don't know.
Well, I remember I took Spanish class in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved the way the teacher rolled his R's. And I practiced and practiced and, you know, it never came.
Oh, really?
That's close though, isn't it?
Yeah, that's real close to
Let me try it one more time.
That's good. Keep working on it. You'll get it, Jeff.
And it looks good, too. So how was your weekend?
My weekend was pretty awesome.
Pretty awesome. Awesome. Anything you want to share?
Well, yeah, I love the month of October.
Me too.
I love it.
As a matter of fact, last October, if you go to my original blog, which is Jeff's Random Thoughts, you'll find a little thing called Ode to October. Last October, and I talked about all the things I love about October.
Is that right?
Yes.
That's amazing. Is that your favorite month?
It's between October and I think, what was the other one? December's good.
Oh, yeah. December's my favorite.
You know, then you got the holiday thing and all that stuff. Well, October is your birthday.
Yes, that is my birth month.
Yeah,
That's correct.
Is that why you love it so much?
Of course. No, I just love the fall. And to me, that's just the beginning of fall. And it's just, you know, it's Halloween time. And you see the leaves starting to change color. And it starts to get a little cooler.
I like the fact that it's like the start of seasons. You got the theater season starting. You've got symphony season starting, opera season starting. People talk about spring as being growth and, you know, young things starting. I've always looked at it as fall because it's like it's school starts. Not that that affects me too much anymore. But
Right. I agree.
All this stuff begins. Summer is like the time off and then stuff begins again.
Yes, exactly. Things begin in spring, but things begin in the fall as well.
It's an exciting time.
It is an exciting time, but, you know, this October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So, you know, yesterday I actually did the Susan G. Komen 5K run at North Park Center, and it was amazing.
Really?
I'm goosebumpy right now just thinking about the thousands, I'm talking thousands of people that went out there to support, you know, the breast cancer.
Wow.
And it was, I mean, I think we had about 34,000 people. I got there at 7 o'clock. And
that's a lot.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And it's a really, really big event. It was very touching and moving because you could identify those that were breast cancer survivors because they were wearing baseball caps, pink baseball caps.
Wow. There are a lot of them.
A lot of them.
Pretty visible, huh?
Yeah, very visible. And those, you could tell the women had ribbons that had been sewn or sewn onto their caps as far as the number of years that they've, you know, been cancer-free.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I got to talk to some of them, and they talked to me about chemotherapy and the radiation that they went through. It's not pretty.
No, of course
but
not.
But they were just so happy to be alive. I mean, they were probably most alive then, you know, those that haven't been through it. And I guess it's just kind of a, you know, you appreciate life a lot more after
right.
you've been through something as traumatizing as that. But it was wonderful. Not everybody was so lucky, but, you know, those that haven't been so lucky and have moved on to the afterlife, well, people were wearing T-shirts, and in the back of those T-shirts, it said, in memory of.
Wow.
And the lists were pretty long. Well, I'm just glad that there's so many people that are supporting this great, great cause in the fight against breast cancer.
You know, Carol, there's so much crap on the news, you know, on and in the world. It's good to have a, know that people around us, your neighbors, your friends, your community, you know, really do care about stuff like this.
Absolutely, absolutely. And yesterday was a testament to that.
Yeah.
Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth. No, you don't know what life is really worth. It's an all that Peter is gold. After story had never been told. So now you see the light. Hey, stand up for your right. Come on,
get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Well, speaking about October, I normally put together a list of what October is in terms of like months of, and we have breast cancer. We talked about that. It's also AIDS Awareness Month, and that's Apple Month. Now, I don't know if they're talking about the fruit or the company, but did you see Apple iPod came out with a new video iPod?
Yes, I did, Jeff.
It looks kind of groovy.
Yeah, it does look groovy.
And it's Clock Month. What do you do with Clock Month? Woohoo! You celebrate the clock? Just imagine what we would have without clocks.
That's interesting.
It would not be a good life. Computer Learning Month. Have you learned about computers this month?
I haven't.
It's Dessert Month.
Okay, I can dig that.
Family History Month. Dive into your family history. Pizza Month. Woohoo! Do you like pizza?
I love pizza.
I love pizza. Popcorn Popping Month. Now, it's interesting that they did not... I love popcorn. I'm a big popcorn nut, as anybody around me will tell you. In fact, Shoko makes jokes about my popcorn all the time, my popcorn eating. But it's interesting that they called it Popcorn Popping Month and not Popcorn Month.
You don't eat the popcorn. You just pop it.
So it's really not about the eating this month. I wonder when Popcorn Eating Month is. We just pop it. So I've been popping popcorn every day this month, not eating it, and the studio is half full of popcorn right now.
Yes, we're sitting in an acoustic chamber right now, Jeff and I, and we're covered in popcorn.
It's fun,
yeah.
Got Roller Skating Month, Polish American History Month, and finally, Stamp Collecting Month. Do you collect stamps?
No, I don't, Jeff. I never got into that.
Do you collect anything?
I don't. Well, I started collecting quarters, the individual quarters from each state.
The state ones?
The state quarters, and I have 27.
Wow, that's pretty good. How many are out? Do you know?
But I like to, you can actually go and buy them online, order them, but that's not as much fun as getting change back and looking to see whether or not it might be one of those quarters, you know, one of those states that you haven't quite gotten yet. So that's a little thing that just really turns me on, makes my day.
Counting, looking at your change. Do you know how many quarters are out? Like how many you have?
I have. How many do I have? They're all out.
Oh, all 50 are out now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I thought all 50 were out.
I have no idea.
And I only have 27. I thought they were.
Well, you know, they were just releasing, I don't know, a few every month or so. So maybe you've got most of them. Who knows?
Oh, okay.
Have to Google and do some research on that.
I will.
Well, the other thing is, it's Oktoberfest month. Although sometimes they have that in September. Isn't Oktoberfest in Germany actually at the end of September? Or am I wrong about that?
I think you're wrong about that, Jeff. But I'm surprised you didn't bring it up because your real name is not A-Strike. It's Ostreich.
Ostreich.
Ostreich. Right? I mean, you are German. I mean, your name.
My name is German.
Is German. And so I'm surprised that you didn't bring that up. You didn't bring up beer. I know you love beer.
I love my beer and bratwurst.
And I know you love your sausage.
Love my sausage.
But you love your bratwurst and you love, you know, your beer. And I think even more so than the popcorn.
Probably true. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like to pop sausage.
You like to pop sausage. Okay.
It's popcorn. No, it's sausage popping month.
It's sausage popping month. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, but there was a lot of Oktoberfest parties going on over the weekend, and I went to one with Amy.
Okay.
So that was a lot of fun. We did the chicken dance. I don't know if you guys know what the chicken dance, and we did the polka.
Yeah.
And it was fun.
Wow.
Ate a lot of good food. And
so is this at like a private party's residence or something, or
yeah,
they have sort of a big thing?
Yeah, actually, it's a girlfriend of mine. Her name's Janet, and she moved into a one-acre home in Southlake, Texas.
Southlake, wow.
I haven't seen her in about 4 or 5 years, but I had to go to the Oktoberfest, also because I haven't seen her and her husband, but I guess one of my primary reasons for going is to meet their newly adopted baby girl from China.
From China, really?
They went all the way to China. And I'm not even going to try to enunciate the name of the city out there, but they actually went to pick up their adopted girl in January. She and her husband and sister-in-law went all the way to China, and I got to meet this little one. Her name's Charlie.
How old is she?
She's only, let's see, I think she's 14 months old.
Oh, she's
and she's
very
got a
young,
cute personality, and she was dressed in this little Oktoberfest-type dress. And yeah,
I bet she was cute.
She's adorable. She's adorable. She's walking and, you know, and just really nice personality.
Yeah.
And she's starting to speak English. And so that was really awesome to see. And there were some other couples there from the U.S. that they had met when they were in China that were also there adopting.
Really?
You know, there's the big problem with a lot of orphan children in China, particularly female.
Right.
Babies. And so
I knew a friend from work who, she and her husband were adopting a child from Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember just her telling me it was really, really hard to do. I mean, it's kind of a good news, bad news thing. It's good news that there are authorities that really spend a lot of due diligence checking out the potential parents, which is good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You don't want anybody to grab these kids. Mm-hmm. But as a result, I think they had to make like 4 or 5 trips to Russia, had surmountable administrative things that they had to do. And I think by the time they started the process and by the time they finally got a Russian child, I think it was like 2 years. And probably, I'm guessing, a lot of money, although we didn't really talk about the financial aspect of it.
Yeah, that's I forgot to bring that up, but I don't know what the financial aspect is for adopting children in China.
Know.
But
yeah.
But Janet and Steve said it took them about 1 year.
A 1 year, okay.
1 year, I mean, and they didn't have to make
multiple trips
to
okay.
China. It was just, but it's interesting because they have to do what's called a home study program. So what they try to do is match the parents to a child. Now, I don't know how that process works. I don't know if there's a group of little old ladies that read the biography, the bio from adoptees,
right?
Or adopters, I should say. I don't know how they go about doing the matching supposedly, you know, it's. They hit the nail right on the head. I mean, it's they do a really good job of matching up these babies with the parents to make sure that, you know, they're going to fit in well to the environment, you know, where you live, you know, whether or not you have animals, whether or not, you know, there's other kids in the household. So it's a pretty rigorous process.
Well, it's interesting. Now, for those who don't know, Southlake is a fairly affluent suburb of Dallas-Fort Worth, actually more of Fort Worth. And the fact that they've got 1 acre, I'm guessing these people are pretty rich, pretty well-to-do. And I wonder if that's what it takes to adopt a baby from China.
I don't know. I think it definitely takes a lot of patience.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, I just would be, just the anticipation of, I can't imagine what that week before they actually went to pick up their baby must have been like.
Wow.
I would
totally
have slept.
Anxiety. Yeah.
Anxiety, right? I mean, just excitement. I just wouldn't be able to like sleep, especially after having been through this process for a year.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, the closer that the day gets there, it must just be amazing, amazing experience. But happy that they want to do it again, Jeff.
They're going to do it again? Well, do you remember when you were a kid waiting for Santa Claus?
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of the adult equivalent, probably, right?
That's the adult equivalent, right.
That's funny.
China, all the way to New York. I can feel the distance. I can feel the distance as you breathe.
I posted an article on the blog a couple weeks ago. I have had major engine work on my BMW, okay? I still don't have it back yet. It's been 2 weeks. And, you know, it's one of those things where the car is 9 years old, debating about, well, should I just, you know, buy a new car at this point? Mm-hmm. I decided, okay, I'll fix the engine and hopefully get 2 or 3 more years out of it, and then it'll be worthwhile.
Mm.
So that's interesting. But here's what happened yesterday. So I'm driving the shop that I use, which is I'm really happy with. They let me have a 1993 Mercedes. And this Mercedes is not in great shape, but, you know, they maintained it and it was fine. It was free, fine.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm driving yesterday to the grocery store and engine light comes on.
Uh-oh.
And it starts spewing all kinds of smoke in the front. So the car is parked at Central Market and Shoko came and picked me up and I have no car now. And tomorrow I'm going to tow that sucker back to the shop. And
oh, God.
I mean, so this is essentially, Carol, this is 2 engines going out on me, in about 2.5 weeks.
Oh, man. That's bad.
I kind of don't want to drive any cars anymore. I think I'm bad vibes.
No, you should ride your bike.
I should ride my bike.
Ride your bike.
I wish I could ride my bike to work. It's just too far.
Yeah, that's too far. Well, that would explain why I didn't see your car.
Yeah, you were kind of freaking
morning.
Out a little bit, weren't you?
I was freaking out. I was like, oh, my God, Jeff has stood me up. But I'm sorry to hear that. That's a huge bummer. I'm surprised you went ahead and decided to fix your engine. That's gotta be expensive.
It turned out to be the best case scenario, but even the best case scenario, I think I'm gonna get out of there in the low 3,000s.
Wow. So that's
but
not
again,
at the dealership, right?
It's not at the dealership. Okay. So essentially this shop has been about, and I'm just guesstimating here, about 67% of the price that a similar maintenance would be at the dealership.
Okay.
So it's a better deal. You know, in the low 3,000s, so I was on the fence. If I get 2 or 3 more years out of the car, it'll be fine. I originally wanted to get 10 years out of the car.
Mm-hmm.
Now I might have to go up to 12. But I tell you what, if in the next year or so, you know, and something else happens, I think that's going to be it. I'll just, you know, go with the new.
Right. And what will be the new, Jeff? Will it be another BMW? Because I know you're a big fan of Beamers.
You know what? I am.
Or have you become an SUV man? Or a hybrid car?
Well, I was going to say all those things are on the table. I'm actually, when I first, this is 9 years ago, I thought my next car would be a Mercedes because I like the German cars. And I thought, well, you know, BMW this time, Mercedes next time, just to keep things different and interesting. But now I'm thinking maybe SUV, maybe hybrids, maybe a cheap car. Maybe a Shoko's got a Toyota Corolla that's a great car. And, you know, it's about half the price of a BMW, and it's a great car. It's reliable. It's space. I wanted to say spacey, but that doesn't sound good. It's spatial or whatever. It's a great car, you know? I just don't want to sink a lot of money into a vehicle that just depreciates real fast. I mean, I like driving fine automobiles, but I find the older I get, I actually care a little bit less and less about it. So
right.
I'm really open, but I love the idea of the hybrid thing. And especially in 2 or 3 years, I have a suspicion that they'll even be economic. I don't know. What do you think about hybrids?
Well, Jeff, to be honest with you, I don't really know what a hybrid car is.
Well,
I mean, I know they're gas efficient vehicles and...
Yeah, because they use a combination of alternative fuels and electricity. Actually, I don't know that much about them either. But what I did hear is that, in fact, you just made the comment to me off air that they're not really popular too much in Texas right now.
Right.
Although they're taking off in like California, some of the more
environmentally friendly states. Right.
But I think one of the reasons for that is purely, is this my own opinion, is purely financial. What I thought I read someplace just in the last 2 weeks that hybrids are at a point where the total cost of ownership is still not lower than owning a regular vehicle. So in other words, there's a steeper initial price. But even though your yearly gas price is a little bit less,
right?
But it's for a lot of us that wouldn't matter too much because you do get the benefit of, you know, helping the environment and helping
right.
You know, kind of getting it started. But in 2 or 3 years, I think we'll be even a point where not only does it feel good to have a hybrid, but it's economically total cost of ownership better.
Now, when you say, when you talk about total cost of ownership,
yeah.
Is it just an expensive vehicle to purchase? Are you
That's
saying
what
over,
I've heard.
Or over the life of ownership, it's just higher maintenance costs?
No, actually the owner, the recurrent cost is less because I think the assumption was it uses less gas. So I think it's all in the initial price.
In the initial
price. It's just steeper.
Okay.
Right now. So, I mean, the initial price can be steeper, and still, if you save costs every year, your total cost of ownership could be the same, you know?
Right.
But it's not quite there yet. At least that's what this article said. But
right.
But it sounds like it's pretty close.
Well, with the gas prices going up,
that would make more of a difference.
Right.
Yeah.
I think maybe more people are starting to look at hybrids because you do get very good fuel efficiency out of these hybrids. I was reading... it can be as high as in 64 miles to the gallon.
Wow.
So that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. That's highway driving, but still, non-highway driving is still high, but...
10?
No, it's still in the 60s.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
wow.
You know, that might be an incentive for people to go out there and buy hybrids. I like the idea of just it being more... environmentally.
So do I.
You know?
Yeah. So do I.
Friendly, you know?
And if I can get reasonable, I don't know what the performance stats are, but from what I've heard from the guys at work, they're saying, you know, they're pretty comparable. So, I mean, I think it's, especially if I keep my BMW for 2 or 3 more years, I think it's a distinct possibility.
Yeah. Now, can you buy a hybrid SUV or is it just...
Well, that's a good question.
Smaller compact cars.
I don't know the answer to that. That's
okay.
A good question. We'll have to ask our wonderful listeners if they know the current state of the art of hybrid cars.
Yeah, definitely. Now, we'll say that the Toyota Corolla gets the best gas mileage of all vehicles out there.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And it's not, Toyota Corolla.
There you go.
Yeah. It was up there with the, as far as fuel efficiency, it's ranked one of the highest. So you did good, Shoko.
She made a good choice.
She did make a good choice.
She calls it Corolla-chan. Corolla-chan.
What's that?
It's just a little, nice little kid way of, that's her name for her car.
Oh, really?
Chan is what you sort of put at the end to
okay.
make something sound like a
cool.
You know, little kid. That's
well, you did good, Shoko.
Yeah.
Asked a girl what she wanted to be. She said, baby, can't you see? I want to be famous, a star of the screen. But you can do something.
David Lobig, our audio columnist from randomdigressions.com, has something to say about spam.
I want to rant. Then I want to rant again. I want to rant and then beat somebody up. These spammers who send millions of emails with fake subjects and fake return addresses have got to be among the most selfish of all humanity. When given the power to use deception to intrude on millions, they do so for their own self-serving purposes. Lincoln said nearly all men can stand adversity, but if you want to test a man's character, give him power. These parasites have the power of email and prove their character. I imagine these pathetic little people, unable to gain acceptance or success in legitimate relationships, I imagine them sitting in their dark little rooms, devising ways to beat spam filtering software. They purposely replace characters in the subject lines so the programs that delete messages with the word Viagra won't find the word VIGRA, because it's one character different. Then they apply their effort to come up with another 100 variations, as well as blatantly deceptive subjects. I get 10 real emails a day and like 150 or more worthless junk messages. A mere fraction of a fraction of the recipients want these emails. To the other 99.99%, they are a persistent, annoying imposition. These flippin' a-hole spammers just don't care. They send them anyway. Then they send them again. Then they send them again. Email is easy and cheap, so it's a great communication tool. It's so easy and cheap, the conniving spam weasels can send out millions of emails, get a small fraction of responses, and still make money. To thwart them, we now have to make email less efficient and more costly. So the lesson is this: we need to be careful with efficiency. There are always people who will exploit it to impose themselves on others. So we need to create inefficiencies as a barrier. Spammers, in effect, are a worthless drain on the world. Until the email system is fixed with inefficiency, spam leeches will have an impact far out of proportion to their numbers, their value, and their worthiness. They use technology to the ongoing chronic detriment of everybody, and they just don't care. They serve themselves, and that's all that matters to them. They may shout about free speech, but that's just another power that tests their character. They have First Amendment rights, and they misuse them, thus showing everybody their true colors. Well, they don't even do that, because they don't have the fortitude to show themselves. They hide behind fake email addresses to avoid accountability. They know their tactics are unethical. They are that 4% that manipulates and exploits others. They are the people the world would be better off without. We all hate spammers, so a column about my judgmental disdain for spammers may not be very enlightening. It may even be caustic. I just wanted to get it out of my system for myself and for anybody listening out there who feels the same. I just wanted to rant. Now I want to beat somebody up. Forgive me my shortcomings.
Changing tracks completely, I thought this was funny, Carol. I wanted to get your opinion of it. You've heard about this divorce between Renee Zellweger and...
what's his face? The country western singer.
Kenny...
mm-hmm.
I don't know, remember his name. Chesney.
Kenny Chesney. I don't really follow country western music.
Obviously, I don't either.
I thought it was a strange match from the beginning.
Well, they only dated for what, 2 or 3 months?
Yes.
But here's what they said. It said they made a joint statement. Here's the quote. They said the miscommunications of the objective of their marriage at the start is the only reason for this annulment. Now, what the heck does that mean?
Exactly.
The objective. Isn't the objective of all marriages pretty much the same thing? Because you love each other, you want to start a family, or, you know, I don't know. Well, what's the objective? Well, they had a miscommunication of the objective. I don't know what that means.
Wow.
And what else? This is kind of a funny quote. This is from a lawyer. Anyone seeking an annulment on the grounds of fraud, so they're kind of trying to explain this, must prove that their partner misrepresented some matter that was vital to the marriage. And further down it says, for example, things like that could be an existing spouse, permanent impotence, or a criminal history.
Interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Now, I did know about the fraud bit, but mm-hmm. boy, that just left it open for...
mm-hmm.
You know,
so
people's imagination is on what the heck does that mean?
I know. I find it just really curious. But, you know, they did not date very long. So there were probably stuff that, you know, one or both of them were hiding from each other. But it sounds like it's kind of like big things that were being hid.
Well, it had to have been a big thing. But should you let your past skeletons out of your closet?
What do you mean?
When you meet someone. I mean... for example, if he had a criminal history, I mean, and it's in his past.
Right.
Should he necessarily, like, bring up his past into a new relationship? Now, permanent impotence, I mean, that's pretty heavy. And if she didn't figure that one out before they got married.
Well, you know, people, sometimes some people don't.
I doubt she was a virgin, but,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I know.
You know? I mean, she dated George Clooney for years, so I know she ain't a virgin.
She dated Clooney?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It was a big-time relationship. Renee Zellweger with George Clooney.
Really?
Yeah.
I
would have lost my virginity day one if I was dated George Clooney. But, no, I mean.
I always had a thing for Renee, actually. I always did. I always have.
Jeff has always liked Helen Hunt.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that.
That's right.
And Renee Zellweger.
Although, you know, yeah. Renee in her new blonde hair stuff and kind of really prim and proper. I don't like that Renee. I like the Renee from Bridget Jones and from Jerry Maguire.
I like the Renee from Jerry Maguire. Yeah. She was fabulous. And well, she was great in the movie Chicago, but I don't know. I mean, when she went into that, she started dating some musician dude. I forget what his name is.
Besides this guy that she married?
Yeah.
Oh, so she's got a thing for musicians.
Oh, you probably know who he is. I mean, it's one of the bands that you listen to. His name is Jack Black.
Oh, she dated Jack White.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Jack Black. I was close. You were close, actually.
It's Jack.
Completely different personalities, yeah. But you're close.
Yeah, exactly.
From the White Stripes, sure.
From the White Stripes.
I remember
Stripes.
That. They worked on the movie Cold Mountain together.
Oh, is that how they
met? That's how they met.
He was actually in movies?
He...
I thought he was a musician.
He's a musician. He's a front man for the White Stripes, but he played a very bit part, but he as one of the musicians that was sort of in their little gang of people.
In the movie?
Yeah, in the movie. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I did not know how they...
So he didn't have a big part, but I think they must have met on the set and found love.
Well, see, I haven't seen that movie, but I heard...
It's great.
It's a great movie.
It was very touching, very moving. I really had high thumbs up for it.
Really?
Yeah, really liked it a lot. The music was outstanding. I actually bought the soundtrack. I liked it so much.
Hmm.
Outstanding.
Yeah, and shortly, I guess, after dating...
Jack White.
Jack Black. Jack Black.
Newsflash! Renee and Jack Black together. First reported on this and that.
But she kind of went toward to this goth look, and it was bizarre. I mean, she lost a bunch of weight, and you know, she's already very pale looking to begin with, and then she totally dyed her hair jet black, and that look on her was not becoming at all.
I don't like the goth look, period, but you know, I just don't find the goth thing attractive, but
no,
I don't recall seeing Renee in the goth look.
Well, she's really, I don't know if she's going through a rediscovery process.
She changes her look every year, and that does bug me.
She's changing her look a lot.
It makes me think, you know what that makes me think? It makes me think, okay, I like her so much from Jerry Maguire. I think she's cute and everything, but I think she's probably, if I really met her, probably wouldn't like her so much, but she's probably wacko a little bit.
Yeah,
you know?
She must have issues or, she's trying to find herself. I don't know, but.
But I want to explore something you said before about fully disclosing like some sort of, you know, like a criminal record.
Right.
I kind of think you should put that up. I mean,
really?
Because I think it's going to come up later. And I think if it comes up later and you say, well, why didn't you tell me about this big thing?
But what is enough?
What is enough? It's a good question.
What is enough when you begin into a, when you start off a new relationship,
mm-hmm.
what is enough? I mean,
right.
What's major?
Right.
And what's not? Because you certainly don't want to bring baggage.
No,
not want to call it that into your new relationship. So, I mean, if you had a child from a previous marriage, I mean, that you would definitely.
It seems obvious that needs to be worked in fairly early, right?
Right, you need to work that in fairly early. Or, you know, if you've got three other spouses, right?
right.
But
I haven't told Shoko about my three other spouses yet, but it's coming.
And what about like your ten children?
That comes out in the third month of dating, because we've been dating 2 months now.
You're not
so
there
it's coming
yet.
Up next month, yeah.
Okay.
It's a step.
Okay.
Now, I think it's a good question because, you know, like a criminal background, maybe it's not a big deal to you, but maybe it would be a big deal to your partner. These things are difficult. I'm kind of thinking now in favor of, you know, full disclosure, I guess you use your judgment.
You have to use your judgment.
Yeah.
But what you would disclose could, you know, it could change based on...
Right.
I mean, what you would disclose might not necessarily be what somebody else might disclose. But I'm kind of on the fence about...
But here's the... Yeah.
Like the criminal record. I mean, if you committed murder...
Yeah. That'd be good to know.
That would be good to know, but
but here's the thing. Okay,
you know, shoplifting.
If you
when you were young and you know, you did get convicted and you spent some time in jail, because you know people are very impressionable and you're going to judge. I mean, most people are going to judge.
Well,
you know, and you're going to start going. Your imagination is going to start going wild about how what kind of a relationship am I getting into with this guy? And so
I know what colors everything. What happens if you have a criminal background, or if you've had a background where you've been a huge womanizer, for example,
right?
And that was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever. And you come into a new relationship and you say about that. All of a sudden, this other person has an image of you as this great womanizer.
That's it.
And all you're saying is, you know what? It was so long ago, I deserve a good relationship now.
Right.
And I'm sorry for my past, but it's not me anymore. But it's impossible for the other person not to be colored by that.
Absolutely.
So I think it's just that's a really, really tough question.
Yep.
And I guess couples deal with that every day. So phone us in. We'd like to hear your stories on this, because this is complicated stuff. And Carol and I want to solve it for you.
Yeah, definitely. We do.
Because we're the experts.
Yes, we are.
Love experts. Oh,
sure. That's
all
why we're
sudden.
Still single.
Exactly.
That's why Jeff and I are in our 40s and still single.
We're the losers. Us and Pat and Susan. Bunch of losers.
No,
man.
Actually, we're single because we choose to be single.
We're
big
single
difference.
Because, Carol, it's, a lot
it's
of
not
our
like
friends...
We're per, it's not like we're not pursued.
A lot... We're so pursued.
We are pursued. I mean, it's no. gotten so bad that we can't even tell people where we live because we're so pursued.
It would be lines out the door. I mean, it's ridiculous. Oh. It really is, you know?
Yeah.
And now with the podcast, Carol, you're, it's just going to be nuts
oh,
for you.
Oh, I mean, I can't imagine.
Yeah.
Oh.
Just an hour of love with you, my hopes will never end. In a cottage made of dreams beside the river end. Just like a butterfly looks for a flower, I look for happiness with you just 1 hour. Then so all the world may know that you belong to me, I'll just lock you in my heart and throw away the key. If I could have a wish come true, it would be just an hour of love with you.
So, Jeff, I'm very excited.
Excited.
I just found out that University of Dallas, which is my alma mater.
Dun, 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 dun. I don't know what their song is. That's
neither
like a generic, generic alma mater
actually.
Song, whatever. Alma mater.
It's a Catholic back school, and it's located in Irving, and that's where I went and got my MBA.
All right.
But it is among the four Bush Library finalists.
Wow.
So I could not believe it. I was like, Texas A&M was
now,
already eliminated.
Now, I heard there was like a nursery that was also in the nominee list. Pudumpump. Sorry.
A nursery.
An elementary school.
No,
and all the books in the George Bush Library, you know, for first graders, see George run. See.
Oh, funny, Jeff.
Sorry. For the listeners, you know, Pat and I kind of tend to be liberal, Carol. Our friend Carol tends to be conservative.
So definitely conservative.
Are you a Bush fan?
I am a Bush
okay.
fan. I'm a Republican.
Okay. So you're loyal. You're loyal. You're a loyal Republican,
I'm
even though
loyal
Bush
Republican.
Seems like he's getting kind of weird.
Yeah,
this.
I'm kind of like middle-of-the-road Republican. I'm not, you know, too far right.
Okay. So what's the criteria for this library thing, anyway?
Actually,
do they say?
No, actually, I don't know what the criteria is, but the list of finalists came in, and here are the top four contenders. SMU.
All right.
UD.
It's very close to me, SMU.
Yeah, exactly. University of Dallas, which I already alluded to earlier. Baylor University in Waco, Texas. And Texas Tech University. And eliminated the three other groups that had applied was UTA, Texas A&M, and the University of Texas System. And unfortunately, they didn't make it.
Well, so, did Bush, now he went to college up in the Northeast. I'm thinking, did he have any affiliation with any of those universities in Texas? Because that would be a logical place to put it, you know? SMU, what did I hear? Because Harriet Myers, the Supreme Court Justice nominee, is from SMU or went to SMU. And so I heard maybe that people at SMU were thinking, ooh, maybe that gives us a leg up or something to that extent. But I don't know.
Well,
any idea what's what'll win?
What will win?
What religion is Bush? Do you know? Because SMU is Baptist, and as you say, UTD is Catholic.
SMU is Methodist. Southern Methodist.
Duh. Okay, I'm an
University.
Idiot. I'm an idiot. Yes, it's Methodist.
And I think Baylor is Baptist.
It is?
Predominantly.
Okay.
Right. And UD is Catholic.
Right. And then...
That's a good point. I didn't think about that. And Texas Tech, well, I don't know. They're out in the desert. I don't know if religion has reached them yet.
They're the desert religion.
They're the desert religion.
Oh, for all of our Texas Tech listeners, we're sorry. I apologize for Carol. I heard it's a very beautiful campus.
Yeah, it is. Actually, Janet, the gal that had the Oktoberfest party, she actually, before she married Steve, they both met at Texas Tech University. So,
there you go.
But, you know, I guess, you know, Bush's affiliation with Texas, I mean, he grew up here, right?
Right.
I don't know if
it
has necessarily to do with where you went to school as much as where, you know, he had his business here.
Seems like it would be logical to be affiliated with the university, but since he didn't go to school here, it probably makes sense.
Yeah. And he is a governor, you know, of Texas.
Right.
And he went to school, you know, I don't know where Bush went to school. But,
I can't wait to go to the library.
You can't wait to go to the library? It's going to cost in the range of $200 to $300 million. It's amazing.
Wow.
And it's financed by private donations. So
yeah.
I'm going to get out my checkbook and just, you know, write a check.
Well, there you go.
For $200-300 million, as long as they put it at the University of Dallas.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
No, that'd be good. That'd be good for UD. It's a small, tiny campus, but it's got a lot of charm. But I
think ultimately it is a benefit, a boon to sort of whatever campus gets there, right?
Right. Exactly. It'll be a boon, and I think SMU is probably the one that'll be.
I don't know that much about it, but I think of the universities you named, SMU has a certain je sais quoi about it.
Or what does je sais quoi mean, Jeff?
I have no idea. I don't even know if I said it correctly.
Good, though.
Yeah.
It definitely has more reach than, you know,
I'm thinking.
A lot of people don't necessarily know where the University of Dallas is. It's a small, very small campus.
Well,
the
University of Dallas is not in Dallas. That's weird.
It's in Irving, Texas.
That's weird.
Speaking of Irving, Texas, it's time for the Dallas Minute.
Hey, it's the Dallas Minute. Woohoo! You've got a Dallas Minute for us, don't you?
Hey, Jeff, yes, I do.
She's scrambling for her notes.
Actually, it's not really a Dallas Minute, but, you know, since they called it UD, University of Dallas, and it's Irving, Texas, I figure I'd do the same with the Dallas Minute.
All right.
This little place is called Crescent City. And
Crescent City, it's a restaurant?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like having a French Quarter in your own backyard.
Oh, okay. Can I ask a couple
questions?
So if
you love New Orleans food, go ahead.
I can't find, and this is open to our listeners as well, please let me know, any Dallas-bound listeners, do they have beignets and do they have jambalaya?
Absolutely. And
both?
I'm going to...
Because jambalaya, not all New Orleans restaurants has jambalaya, and I really like it.
Actually, I will tell you that this little place is a franchise. Huh. It was actually founded by some guys from Louisiana in Baton Rouge, and
right.
It's a franchise, and I only know of this restaurant in the Irving area. It's actually on LBJ and MacArthur Boulevard, so it's between Las Colinas and Valley Ranch.
It's pretty easy to get to.
It's very easy to get to, and they're famous for their gumbo.
Okay.
And you have not lived until you've had beignets, and their beignets are to die for.
No way. Really?
Incredible.
I have been looking for, I love beignets.
Yeah.
But
I've never po' boys, and I know you like po' boys.
I do like po' boys.
And muffalettas, if you like.
I don't like the mushrooms in those.
You don't like, but the gumbo and the etouffee and
I like the etouffee.
Yeah. I mean, it's a cool little place and
I'm going, man.
And about a month and a half ago, they started having live jazz.
Really?
On Saturday night. And then they have a piano player that comes out on Sunday during brunch. And it's just good food. It's like they have wireless access. So people will actually, students and, you know, even working people will go there. And because they have, think they have great cafe au lait there.
Wow.
And they don't, basically, you can
Is it fairly new? Or has it been around for a while, do you know?
I've started going about a year ago.
Okay.
But it's a great little place, and you can go and do your work there, and the great atmosphere, and the owners are just very volunteer-driven. They had a fundraiser for Red Cross in order to help the Katrina victims. They support the local school system. They will actually bring school teachers breakfast every now and then. They even hired some of the New Orleans Katrina victims that moved into the Dallas area. They gave about 3 or 4 jobs. So, you know, aside from the fact that the food is great,
right.
I mean, it's just a cool little
They're
place to hang
owners,
out.
Good owners. Community-driven, volunteer-driven. Awesome. Sounds
Absolutely.
Like a great place.
And great food, really.
Good.
If you like that New Orleans style.
What's the name of it again?
It's called Crescent City.
Crescent City in Irving, Texas.
In Irving, Texas.
635 and MacArthur.
And MacArthur.
Go check it out. I'm going to check it out. I'm going to check it out right now. In fact, I don't have time for my Dallas Minute because I'm going and get me some beignets.
And I'll go with you, Jeff.
Yummy. Well, that was very good Dallas Minute. My Dallas Minute is I wanted to talk about a play that Shoko and I went to last night at the Dallas Theater Center. It's called Crowns. Have you heard of this at all?
No, not at all, Jeff.
It is a celebration of Afro-American women and the hats that they would wear to church. And it was presented as sort of a gospel musical mixed in with a play. But it was about this young woman, and you sort of it didn't really make it clear, but it didn't have to be clear, but a young woman kind of from the Bronx, she was real hip-hop, and all of these sort of African-American women look like from the past, grandmothers, mothers, grandmother, great-grandmothers, and sort of all these visions of ancestry. And so it was kind of a little history also of the Afro-American struggle and community. It wasn't heavy. It was very light. Beautiful.
Really?
Absolutely fantastic. The hats were beautiful. The music was so professional and so inspiring. Mm. I wanted to go to a Baptist Afro-American church, and probably will. It was incredible. They had musicians from some of the local areas. And very inspiring. Highly, highly, highly recommend it.
Well, how long is it showing for, Jeff?
It's showing till the beginning. I don't know the exact date, but the beginning of November it'll end.
Okay.
So
well, that sounds like a great go and see.
Definitely a go and see. And I did want to talk about one more thing. We also went to a diner called the Metro Diner.
Mm.
You heard of that?
Never heard
right
of it.
Right across from Baylor, close to East Dallas, very close to downtown.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of these diners that have been around since probably the 50s. Always like it. You got the oldest people sort of working there that look like they've been working since the 50s, but you have the most, since it's close to Baylor, you've got the doctor professional crowd, you've got the old truck driver crowd, you've got the young, just got back from the bar crowd. They're all mixed in. It's a weird, eclectic group. And most importantly, the food is excellent.
And you got the ER crowd too, right?
You got the ER crowd, yeah. I saw Clooney there last night.
You did. Hey. Well, not the true ER, but if it's across from the Baylor, and I know what you're talking about.
No, right,
about,
exactly.
I mean, they probably a lot. I mean, they have to eat too, right?
It is a no-frills diner.
But the food's good, huh?
But the food is solid. It's very good.
Awesome.
Yeah, so I wanted to just give a quick shout-out to that.
And where is it again, Jeff?
That's right across. It's on Bryan Street, right across from Baylor.
Okay.
So like Bryan, we went down Hall, so it's like probably two or three blocks from Hall. I think Bryan in Washington is where it is.
Okay.
Bryan in Washington.
And it's called the Metro Diner.
Metro Diner. Check it out, folks.
Definitely.
You'll like it. And check out Crowns at the Dallas Theater Center. And that's your Dallas Minute. Well, Carolina.
Jeffrey.
I think you've substituted very well today.
Oh, well, thank you. I was a little nervous, but thank you for having me on the show. I had a lot of fun.
Working with me can be intimidating because I am so professional. No, it's just having a conversation. You did very good. Hopefully this will work out well, and it'll be a great show.
Definitely. I hope so, and I hope you'll have me back.
I hope so. They want to tell all of our listeners, give us a holler at 206-202-TALK. That's 206-202-8255. You can email the show at jeffandpat@thisandthatpodcast.com. You can email me at jeff@thisandthatpodcast.com. You can email Pat and give her, you know, say hi. Sure, she'd love to hear from you at pat@thisandthatpodcast.com. If you haven't voted for us on Podcast Alley, we'd appreciate it. We'd also appreciate it if you go to the Podcast Pickle and sign us up as one of your favorites, because that's a little bit of a ranking system too. But overall, we just love you if you listen.
Yes, we do love you if you listen. I'm a big-time listener.
Yeah.
I enjoy the show.
Great, great. Mm-hmm. And now you're a big-time host. Hostess.
Well, the hostess with the mostest. Just this Sunday.
Yeah.
Maybe there'll be other opportunities.
Maybe there'll be other opportunities.
I had great fun.
Good.
And hope everyone listening to the podcast enjoyed the show.
Yeah.
As it was a lot of fun making it.
All right. I appreciate it. Well, thanks, everybody. I guess we're out of here.
All right. Bye.
Bye.